You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Late last year, the Centers for Disease Control released a report that provided a snapshot of depression in the United States. Found that about 1 in 13 Americans is suffering from depression, about 8% of the population.
The report also found that the majority of depression sufferers aren't getting treatment, and that's causing concern among mental health professionals. So what are some of the roadblocks to seeking treatment? And as we start a new year, is now the right time to reach out for help, either for yourself or for a loved one?
Joining us now to help answer these questions, we have Annabelle Potvin. She's the Advocacy Org Coordinator at the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Wisconsin. Annabelle, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we've made it through the holidays. We're into 2015, New Year's resolution time. Is that a time when a lot of people start to think about their situation and maybe start to seek help for depression or other mental health issues?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would say that, you know, anytime you're noticing emotions or behaviors that have been bothering you for a long time, it's time to seek support, whether or not that's the beginning of the year or not. But, you know, if making a New Year's resolution along with it helps you feel motivated and excited about making a change, then that's great. But I could also see that approach, you know, not being right for everyone. You know, if your efforts don't pan out in a linear way and sometimes experiences with mental health issues do not, then that might just add another layer of frustration that you might not need to be dealing with. So I guess it kind of just depends on the person's, you know, personal feelings about New Year's resolutions.
Now, from what I understand about depression, especially severe depression, is the condition itself can restrict people's abilities to take action. How do we get people to overcome the depression enough to seek help for the depression?
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. I think for a lot of people, the key is really just to take it slow and to reach out for help. You know, there are a lot of organizations, NAMI Wisconsin included, that can help people kind of navigate the mental health system because, as you said, it can be really overwhelming, and that in itself, just making that call can really stop people from getting the help that they need. So I would really encourage people to reach out for help with that initial step because sometimes it's that first step that stops people.
And I imagine it's hard to figure out the signs, see the symptoms in ourselves. How do we distinguish between maybe a short-lived low point or a seasonal depression and the kind of clinical depression that might require some serious help?
Yeah, you really want to be on the lookout for really the key symptoms of depression. And that's major loss of energy, lack of interest in your normal activities, low self-esteem, strong feelings of hopelessness, all of those things. And if you do identify some of those experiences, then the main question to ask is how long has this been going on? So, you know, if you felt those things for a few days or a week, then it's probably okay to give it some time and just see how you feel. But if you're feeling like that for weeks or months, then it's definitely time to take action. And, you know, overall, I would really urge people to just be proactive about getting help. So if you spent the last few months thinking, I might be depressed and maybe I should get help, then you probably should. I think we tend to, you know, impose these artificial standards of am I sick enough or depressed enough, and we tend to assume that we can solve it alone. But the truth is that if you're feeling sad all the time, you're losing interest in life, you're feeling hopeless, it's best to just reach out. If only to learn about what's available rather than just, you know, relying on your own assumptions about what mental health treatment looks like. So even if it doesn't turn out that you are diagnosed with depression, you know, there's nothing to lose from just reaching out.
We'll get into what's out there, what kind of help people can reach out to in just a few moments. But I wanted to dig a little bit into that report from the CDC. 1 in 13 Americans, they say, suffering from depression at some point in a 3-year span, 8% of Americans. Does that surprise you? Is that more prevalent than you would have thought?
Well, my understanding is that the number has really hovered between that 5 and 8% range for some time. You know, so it's disheartening that it's not lower. And, you know, it's also important to remember that those numbers are self-reported. So people who aren't maybe willing to disclose that they're dealing with depression or even admit it to themselves might not be captured in that data. So the percentage might, you know, even be higher in reality. So it's really disheartening.
Well, one lesson there maybe for someone suffering from depression is this is a lot of people. You're not alone.
Yes, exactly. And even when you think about mental illnesses overall, it's 25% is the estimate right now. 1 in 4 people nationwide experience some kind of mental health condition in any given year. So you're absolutely right. You're not alone.
And back to that CDC report, the majority of people dealing with depression, not seeking help, not getting help from a mental health professional, only 35% of people with severe depression, 20% with moderate depression said they'd sought help. Alarming, I think, to mental health professionals. Why do you think so few are seeking help and getting connected with help?
You know, I would say that the stigma of mental illness is still a huge reason. You know, our society still has so many negative stereotypes about people who seek help, and we internalize those stereotypes, and so we avoid being part of that group because, you know, we don't want to be lumped in with a group of people that society sees in a negative light. And I also think we see help-seeking behavior itself in a negative way. You know, culturally, we tend to be very individualistic, very, you know, really value self-reliance and independence. And so asking others for help with personal issues can be really hard for a lot of us. Even though most of us would say that we wouldn't judge other people for seeking help, we're really quick to judge ourselves. So I think that that public stigma and then that self-stigma is still really powerful.
So we see mental illness or seeking help for it as a sign of weakness in ourselves.
Yeah, I think that does unfortunately tend to be the case when, in fact, of course, it's a very brave and admirable and responsible thing to do. But that does seem to be the cultural context that we see it in.
And there's been an effort from groups like yours to change this conversation, to see seeking help as a sign of strength for at least a few years now. Are you starting to see that change? Are we starting to turn away from this this view of mental illness as a stigma?
You know, I think we are talking. You know, we're talking more about stigma. We're talking more about mental health. And then that's a really good thing. And, you know, we're starting to see it coming up in political conversations much more. We're starting to see it on social media. And we're talking about stigma and mental health in kind of an abstract way. But sometimes I think we don't talk about kind of the real-life impacts of stigma as much as we should. And by that I mean, I guess, the discrimination that people with mental illness face. So whether that's in, you know, employment or housing or healthcare, people are having really real effects of stigma in their daily lives, and I think that the conversation still really needs to go in that direction. But yeah, I do think we're making big strides in talking about mental health generally.
So stigma, one roadblock, maybe keeping people from getting treatment. But how about, you know, paying for it, the cost issue and the availability of mental health providers?
Yes, absolutely. For a lot of people, accessing care they can afford is a huge challenge. You know, even with new options under the Affordable Care Act, a lot of people still have pretty sizable deductibles that make it hard to justify non-emergency services. So, you know, if you're on the fence about going to see a therapist and you're not sure exactly how it's going to help, you don't know a lot about therapy, but you do know that you'll have to pay out of pocket for the first few sessions, then you might just say, okay, well, never mind. You know, I'll put it off and wait for a different time when I can afford it. And then in terms of accessibility, people in the public mental health system are often facing really long wait lists before they can even access care at all. So overall, yes, lack of accessible and affordable services are a huge issue that prevent people from seeking care.
Well, let's talk first steps here. Suppose somebody out there is listening and saying, you know, this sounds kind of like me. I have those symptoms that you just described of depression. What do they do? What do they pick up the phone and do or go online and do to get started to see what's out there for them?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I would say the first step would be just to reach out to someone in your life to talk about what's going on and just to normalize that experience. And, you know, like we were talking about before, statistics show that about, you know, 8% of us are dealing with depression. And then in terms of all mental illnesses, about 25% of us are dealing with some type of challenge. So when you reach out, there's a really good chance that the person you reach out to might just have had a similar experience. And then in terms of accessing services, I think it's important to keep in mind that Wisconsin has a county-based mental health system. So if you have public insurance or you're uninsured, your county human services agency is probably the best place to start. And then if you have private insurance, you can simply call your plan and ask for a referral to a mental health professional. So those are some broad starting points, but ultimately, depending on the resources you have and your location, each person's options are going to be, you know, fairly unique. But to start that process, you can always, again, reach out to organizations like NAMI Wisconsin to help you understand where to start. I think that people who don't deal with mental health challenges tend to think that reaching out for help is a pretty simple process, and they don't understand why people hesitate or struggle. But really, you know, not even thinking about navigating the system and the bureaucracy, it can be really difficult just from an emotional perspective. You know, really stressful and difficult to make that first call. So, as I said before, I would really encourage people to reach out to a support organization to help them start that process.
We're talking about depression in the United States with Annabelle Potvin of NAMI Wisconsin. And how to seek treatment for depression in the new year, and we want to hear from you, too.
If you've struggled with depression, did you seek help or not? And what resources worked the best for you? What advice would you give to someone who is struggling with depression? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking with Annabelle Potvin about seeking treatment for depression in this new year. A recent CDC survey finds that about 8% of Americans have dealt with depression over a three-year span, and that the majority of people dealing with depression aren't getting the help and treatment that they need. We're trying to get to the bottom of that. You can join in with your questions, your comments, and maybe your own experiences and advice at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over at the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to a caller. We've got Matt on the line in Menominee. Matt, hi.
Hi, guys. My big thing is that my wife kind of sometimes she says, you know, I think I'm depressed, and I don't know exactly what to say because in my mind, she just kind of, this is going to sound terrible, okay, but, like, this is kind of an anonymous call, but I think she's kind of lazy. Like, she'll sleep really late on days that she has off. She doesn't really have hobbies or interests, and she isn't, all those symptoms you're saying, like insecure about body image, things like that. But a lot of it is, I'm like, well, you just got to exercise, and we just got to go out and, you know, go play tennis or go run on the track or do something like this. Or you got to just start writing or doing something that you did like when you were in college. But she just doesn't really, you know, she just kind of doesn't want to do any of those things, you know, and I bring them up in a very nice way. But I just really don't know. She's not clinically depressed, you know, or anything like that. She's not sad and hopeless feeling, but just kind of bums around a little bit more than I like, and I just don't know how to encourage that. And
Matt, thanks a lot for calling and sharing that story. I want to bring Annabelle Potvin in on this. Annabelle, he brings up a lot there. Let's start with, okay, someone close to you says they're depressed or is showing symptoms of it. How do you talk to them? How do you bring up these issues, pep talks, point them toward advice? What do we do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so glad that he brought up that issue because I think it's really, really hard from an outside perspective to understand what's going on with someone, especially with something like depression where, you know, a lot of people do have depression because they've had a traumatic experience or something really, really, you know, externally stressful is going on in their lives. But often it's kind of just happening to you. And then to other people, it might not seem like there's a good reason why it's happening. So it can be really frustrating for people on the outside to understand what's happening. But in terms of talking to the person, I mean, first of all, I think a huge, huge message I would give to that caller is just to listen and not to offer suggestions on how to fix it always. You know, sometimes people just need someone to listen and to empathize with what they're going through. But, you know, kind of the main ideas or main messages to keep in mind would just be, you know, depression isn't something that the person can snap out of. It isn't a sign of laziness or weakness, even though, you know, when someone is sleeping more often or not as active, not as interested, it can really look like those things. But it's just inherently not. And it also that it isn't something that's easy to fix. Those are just important messages to keep in mind from the family member or supporter perspective.
Good luck to you and your wife, Matt. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Again, talking about depression in the United States, what help is out there? Maybe your experience in dealing with it, maybe overcoming it? 800-642-1234. We'll go back to the phones with Eric now in Oshkosh. Eric, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to mention something that that my psychologist brought up to me, and it made the world a difference in my life, and that's the connection between adult ADD and depression. Just the inability to concentrate and get tasks done were really what was at the root of my depression. And with methylphenidate to treat my ADD, I was able to go off antidepressants, and things are a lot better.
Eric, thanks a lot for that call. So depression co-occurring, I think that's the medical term, Annabelle, with ADD and beyond, maybe depression and substance abuse and other issues. How often do we see depression wrapped up with another issue?
Yeah, really often. And again, I'm glad that caller brought that up. For example, with substance use, I believe the statistic is about 53% of people with mental illness are also struggling with some kind of substance use issue. So it's really common. And a lot of illnesses can mirror each other in the beginning stages when they emerge. For example, bipolar disorder is often misdiagnosed as depression because someone might be going through a depressive phase and that's all that the clinician sees. But then a few months later, they cycle into mania and they don't want to go see the doctor during that time. So people are often misdiagnosed when there are co-occurring issues happening.
Thanks a lot for that call. And it occurred to me that was a caller who just frankly discussed his experience openly, honestly, no shame there. Is it important that we get people who are dealing with depression, who have been through it and come back out the other side, to talk about their stories?
Absolutely, yes. So the best research on stigma shows that hearing stories of recovery directly from people with lived experience is really the best, most powerful way to reduce stigma. So it's that actual contact with someone who has had that lived experience that changes attitudes. Educating people on the different illnesses isn't as effective. Once we hear from someone who experiences depression or any type of mental illness, it kind of reduces our fear of the unfamiliar. When we can actually put a face and a voice to the issue, it becomes something that we can relate to and better understand. And not to mention, sharing stories can really benefit the person who's sharing. For many people, there's a huge sense of empowerment and self-acceptance that comes with being open about, such a significant life experience. And of course, people share in different ways, depending on what feels right to them. Some people become open with just a few family members or friends, and other people choose to publicly share their story as a form of advocacy. But however the person chooses to share, there's always a positive impact. And I appreciate, the callers calling in and being open. That's really, really powerful.
We'll go to another caller now. We've got Cindy with us in De Pere. Cindy, hi.
Hi. I missed part of the last call because I was calling in, but I was responding to Matt's call. Just coming from the other side, when a person says that, you should get up and you should go do this or do that or go exercise, it just seems like you're being lazy or all of this. I know that it's hard for them to understand, but part of the whole depression makes you feel, it's physical. You don't feel like you could possibly do it. And then what happens is that the person who is depressed alienates themselves from their relationships because they feel like they're a burden and they feel like they're bringing them down. So they have even less of contact or help or a place to go.
Cindy, thanks a lot for sharing that. So the importance of keeping social connections open and maybe avoiding the kind of judgment that Cindy was talking about, Annabelle.
Yeah, absolutely. And like she said, it can kind of be that vicious cycle. If you're not feeling good, you're not feeling like yourself, then you kind of just want to isolate. But as we know, that's the last thing you want to do when you're feeling depressed, in terms of, making the illness have a better course. So it really is a vicious cycle in that way. And so it's so important for family members and friends to be respectful and non-judgmental in the way that they interact with you. Something from that family member and supporter perspective I would really suggest is to reach out to our organization, NAMI. We have support groups and educational programs for family members and supporters to kind of better understand what the person is going through and just kind of gain some strategies on how to better communicate with them and better support them.
Well, that's a great place to leave it. Annabelle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me and for covering this topic.
That was Annabelle Potvin. She's Advocacy Coordinator at NAMI Wisconsin. We're looking at recent statistics from the CDC showing the prevalence of depression, often untreated depression, in the United States, and she shared some research and advice on that issue.